Namaskar, this is Dhanaveda Pragyananda, and today we have our podcast is on the subject, which is the right path? And I'm going to start out by reading a passage from the works of Sri Sri Anandamurti, and then I will discuss it further. So, which is the right path? Many people ask themselves the same question, which is the right path? Whenever scholars discuss this question together, they each give a different answer. So what should ordinary people do? Which path should they follow, and which one should they reject? Unable to discriminate between Shreya, actions leading to welfare, and Preya, actions leading to downfall, they are in a dilemma. Some philosophies cannot be applied in the world of reality. They have no practical application whatsoever. But when given sophisticated names, they may sound quite attractive. Imagine someone makes the supposition that the river Ganges is made of honey and starts speculating how many factories could be started to process the honey and so on. In the beginning, there was a mistake in the fundamental premise that the Ganges is made of honey. There are so many ludicrous theories. Shiva had this to say about them. He said, these theories misguide and disease the human mind. Only that philosophy which can be applied in the practical sphere deserves to be accepted. Everything else should be rejected. But how can common people recognize such a philosophy? A tough problem, indeed. A similar, almost insurmountable problem is how to know what to do and what not to do in the social sphere. A number of reputed scholars and illustrious poets have expressed their feelings about this, but none of them are prepared to accept the viewpoints of their colleagues, as all are equally expert in the field of argumentation. What is one to do? It is quite a dilemma. Once, in answer to the common question, which is the right path, a great poet answered, and first he said, all the religious scriptures differ from one from another. Everyone claims to have had a revelation of God. What a dilemma. If these were all true cosmic revelations, why should there be so many differences of opinion? Some advise that the devotees should meditate facing the west, whereas others insist that they should sit facing the east. These are confusing propositions. How can the same person meditate facing both east and west at the same time? Some scriptures say that the labor class do not have the right to do spiritual practice. Some claim that women don't have the right, and others stipulate that homeless people don't have the right either. Yet some scriptures say that dharma should be easily accessible to all as light and air. Which should be accepted and which should be rejected? Whom should one eulogize? Whom should one criticize? What should be done in the midst of such confusion? In fact, the scriptures themselves are confusing, as indeed are the social treatises. At one time, the most important treatise in India was the Parashara Samhita. Then came Narada Samhita. Then came the theory of Karl Marx. There are innumerable differences among the various social treatises and books of ethics. Shruti Shastra means religious code. Niti Shastra means social code. The social code is also called Smriti Shastra. The socio-economic system, or the system of the distribution of wealth, came within the scope of Samaja Shastra, or social code. One such social code says, try to acquire as much wealth as you can with the help of your intelligence and analytic brain. Another says wealth should be divided in equal proportions, whereas yet another says distribute wealth according to necessity. According to other theories, however, wealth should be distributed according to individual need. That is, one need not give the same amount to everyone. So many people, so many minds. In this situation, what should the common people do? In order to find the answers, many people rush to the saints and sages. But there is a similar problem. Who is a saint? In Sanskrit, the word Muni, M-U-N-I, means a person who always ideates on Ishvara, the controller of the universe, whose mind is in constant touch with him. In the practical field, however, we notice that the more one is endowed with cunning and duplicity, the greater one is revered as a saint. It is also noticed that no one saint or Muni ever agrees with another. There are as many opinions as there are Munis. So what should the common people do? Whom should they accept? Whom should they reject? What is the wisest thing to do? The answer is as follows. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. The real spirit of Dharma lies embedded in the innermost cavity of the human mind. Each and every object has its inherent noumenal cause. The banyan seed, for example, is the noumenal cause of the large banyan tree, which will emerge out of it. Similarly, Dharma has its basic root. Where does that root lie? It lies in Parama Purusha, Supreme Consciousness. One who worships innumerable deities has undoubtedly forsaken Parama Purusha. This is not Dharma. We should not give it some other name. Some religions decree that widows will have to undergo penance and accept certain rules and follow certain abstinences. They are not supposed to eat certain types of food, for example. All these impositions have nothing to do with Parama Purusha and are definitely not dharmic. So, what does common sense tell us? It tells us that each and every human being is a child of Parama Purusha. The unmarried young girl and the widow are both his children. Do you think that God likes the idea that the widow should wear coarse cloth? Of course he doesn't. Rather, he is happy when he sees that everyone is well-dressed, everyone is happy, everyone is singing, dancing, and chatting in a joyful mood. If widows are persecuted, it is a negation of Dharma. So what is the real spirit of Dharma? One is to approach God and assimilate his innermost idea. That is the real spirit. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. In each and every human being, there is a sense of existence in the innermost cavity of the mind. All the worldly clashes and struggles, all the subtle ideas and thoughts center around this existential I feeling. Because he has insulted me, I seek revenge. Everything centers around this I feeling. I am good, but he is bad. It is all the result of that small I. If the small I is good, the world is automatically good. The part of the mind in which the I resides is called guha. Here, guha does not mean a mountain cave, but that innermost cavity within the human mind where the seer, I, lies hidden. And this seeing or witnessing entity of the small I is the very root of Dharma. Who lies hidden in the innermost cavity of the existential I feeling? Parama Purusha. Of course, all entities of this world are sheltered in him. So the difference of opinion between various scriptures are of no concern to you. You should only be concerned about the particular path which will take you to God and move along it. There is no time to waste debating which scripture should be accepted and which one should be rejected. You have come to this world with a limited amount of time. Don't waste it on such controversies. We are all the progeny of Parama Purusha. He is creating each and everything. There is no need to worry about the man-made distinctions between tall and short, black and white, male and female. Identify your mind with the cosmic mind and see whether that pleases Parama Purusha or not. Do whatever pleases him. No father wants to see his child die of starvation or one of his children eating or accumulating more than required. You will have to develop the economic sphere to ensure that these things will never happen. In social life, no father would wish to see his widowed daughter, forced to dress in an austere fashion, persecuted socially, or debarred from attending social functions. You must not support these things. Rather, you must provide equal opportunities for all. Parents hate to see their children weep. If they do, they take them on their lap and comfort them with love and affection. And until their tears stop, you will have to build a society in which no one is forced to weep. Everyone smiles joyfully all the time and gets ample scope for laughter. Seeing such mirth and merriment, Parama Purusha will feel immensely pleased. By giving joy to Parama Purusha, you will feel even more joyful and will feel close proximity. This is the actual social code. And the actual spiritual code is one that helps people move towards Parama Purusha. Under no circumstances should one create unnecessary controversies. The social code aims at bringing a broad smile to the faces of the progeny of Parama Purusha. You should all move along this path. You are sure to meet with success. This is a discourse given on the 5th of November, 1978 in India. This is actually what I just read. I don't know if you could feel it the same way I do, but it's really an amazing statement that has been made. Basically, what we see in the world today is that there are many different ideas. They are in the realm of religious scripture and intellectual debate and, the codes of conduct. And it appears really difficult to sort them out, which is right. One approach is to say, oh, everybody's right. But sometimes you can't accept everything. I mean, if someone says you have to meditate in this facing, like he said in the discourse, facing east, and then another one says west, what will you do? Certain things don't meet that standard. And also there are certain codes which are written even in, notice he was talking about widows, because in India, in the scriptures of India, it was widows had a certain kind of role. They had to live almost like nuns or renunciates, and they were not allowed to have any pleasures of the world. And it's quite suffering that they had to undergo. But it's in the code, it's in the book, the scripture. So should we follow that? Should people follow that? And then there are so many different social codes, and they're also contradictory. How to apportion the wealth of the universe. That's also the socioeconomic code. And we can't say that they're all correct and we have to follow all of them. So what should a person do? So the answer to the question was actually given by the yogi Yudhisthira about 3,500 years ago, and someone asked him this question. So what should the person do? So he said, yes, it's true. The scriptures differ. The social codes differ. The intellectuals differ. Everyone is fighting. But he said the secret here. The secret is that within the cavity of the human existence, within the existential I feeling, is Parama Purusha. God is lying there. So in each person, I've said this before in some of these podcasts, we have an I, and we say, I exist, I exist. And this is the I of the, and then we have the I do, and I'm doing, so I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But we also have, beyond these factors, we have something called the witnessing entity. And we say, I know I exist. I know I exist. And this is the most subtle feeling. And it's within each person. And that, in that, if you go deep back, you withdraw yourself to that I of I know I exist. That's the soul. So the answer to the spiritual question is that even if a scripture says this, a scripture says that, you have to go to your innermost core of your being, and you will find God there. And it's not on the, so don't get involved in debate of over intellectual debate over this scripture says that and that scripture says this. So the answer is to go within, and you'll find Dharma, because Dharma is spirituality. It's the true spirituality of a human, which means that humans will expand their minds, they'll flow with the cosmic entity, and they will serve the universe, and they will merge with the cosmic entity, with God. And that's Dharma. And it is not in any book or any rigid structure that man has created, but it's within the innermost core of the human being. In regard to the social code, the social codes are also greatly varying around the world, but the basic concept here, he said that think of God as the father, the progenitor, the father and the mother of all, the parents of all. So what does the parent want for the child? The parent wants that each of the children will have a chance in this world to develop themselves and to reach their potential. So can we allow systems which thwart the very possibility of some and allow others to live high off the hog, so to speak, living far beyond their means while others don't even have their basic necessities met. So that can't be true. So it's a question of common sense. Basically, this answer to the intellectual rigmarole, whether it be in the spiritual side or in the social side, is a basic common sense. And that common sense will come if you really dive deep within yourself, to go to your being, the core of the being, the core of your understanding, that in that cavern, that's the guha, go there, find the innermost I, and you will find God is there. That's where God is seated. He's not seated up in the sky or in some holy city or that holy place or this holy mountain, but deep within you. And that's why all the yogis have said, you have to go within, you have to meditate, you have to do whatever is necessary to do. You have to withdraw your attention from the world. That's what yoga is. We call it pratyahara. We have to withdraw our attention from the allure of the transitory elements around us and go deep within ourselves, and we find God there. And then when we understand that God is there, and that he is also the caretaker of all of this, all of the others, you, me, and all the other entities, the living creatures of this universe, then we have to frame a social code which will allow all of us to develop together as a family. So this was the question of the path. So the path of the human being should be to know the inner self and then to serve all around us, our family, and to also to create a social structure which will allow both of these. There are two activities here, you'll see. One is the activity you have to go deep within yourself. So that requires something. And that's one activity that has to be supported. And another activity is we have to frame a social code which will make God happy that his children are being cared for. And so we have to frame a system, an economic, a social system, which will bring this about. So these are the activities of the human being, to serve the society, but also to go deep within. And they're both dependent on each other. If you go deep within, then your eyes will open and you will be able to see the injustice and to see the imperfection, and you see what has to be corrected and what doesn't have to be corrected. And if we are living in such a society where these social imperfections are mitigated or corrected, then you will find it much easier to go do your meditation, you live in peace. If you're trying to meditate in a society that is completely falling apart, it'd be much more difficult. But if you meditate in a society which has been built by the reflections which came from the understanding of the real nature of the universe, then you will find it much easier to do that. So what we see here is that don't worry about the debates of the intellectuals or the religious scholars and like that. We have to go beyond that, and we have to go deep within ourselves, and the answers to many of these perplexing questions will be solved. So thank you for listening, and I hope that you will come back again for another edition of DharmaCast. Namaskar.